Today on Real Radio.
It is amazing that up until 1948, there was no Israel. But God said in the last days before I return, I will reestablish my nation Israel. And in fact, the prophet Isaiah said that Israel will be born a second time in one day. Does anybody know the day historically what happened?
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Luke's New Testament narrative. Chapter 21 records for us key inquiries posed to Jesus by his closest of followers regarding church age and end times events. Matthew 24 and Mark 13 appear to record for us parts of the same conversation, and one common thread? The last day's deception that is to be shunned by Messiah's followers. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs with more in this mini-series called What You Should Know About the Real Jesus.
Jesus is speaking about last day's events that, quite frankly, are very, very elongated in that it begins with the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem in 70 AD, and it goes all the way out to the second coming of Christ in the future, out from us, yet to happen. Church, listen, it is God's will, by the way, keep this in mind regarding Bible prophecy in Luke 21. It's God's will that you and I know and understand Bible prophecy. It's God's will that we understand the things that describe not only the second coming, but the imminent return of Jesus Christ. The second coming of Christ is his bodily, physical descent from heaven to earth to establish his kingdom. That's the second coming. But the imminent return, meaning the rapture of the church, is without warning. It is without any precursor of an event, and that could happen at any time today. And I've been stressing these weeks together that you don't confuse the two. What you should know about the real Jesus Christ is that he expects you and I to understand Bible students, note takers, that 27% of your Bible, just over a quarter of your Bible on your lap, is prophetic word. Dr. Warren Wiersbe writes this, and I quote, "Though we as believers today make up the bride of Christ, the church, that will not experience the tribulation period, it is an exciting thing to see the shadow that is being cast by the coming events." And as we look to this, you say, what can I get out of this portion of Scripture, Pastor Jack? What's the deal? We are starting to see the shadows being cast regarding those end time events. And so, you want to write this down. I think it's awesome. In Matthew chapter 24, in Luke chapter 21, in Mark chapter 13, they cover this Olivet Discourse. But check this out. As you put them together, the events of the second coming of Jesus Christ, this topic is mentioned 321 times in the Bible, more than any other doctrine in the Bible except the doctrine of salvation. What does that tell you about how important Bible prophecy is, and specifically the second coming of Christ? That it is the second most mentioned doctrine in the Bible, second only to the doctrine of salvation. Don't tell me that God does not think that study Bible prophecy isn't important. It's vitally important. And out of the 27 books of the New Testament, 23 of those books mention or teach the second coming. In fact, 1 and 2 Timothy, that Paul wrote to Timothy and was distributed to the early church, it dealt with two predominant themes. Number one, the salvation of the believer, and number two, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That ought to excite us. And so just by way of review, look with me now, starting at Luke chapter 21. Look at verse 5, though we're not there. We've already studied that. Let's put it, though, in context. Then, as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and donations, Jesus said in verse 6, "These things which you see, the days will come in which not one stone will be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." And so they asked him, saying, "Teacher, but when will these things be? And what sign will there be when these things are about to take place?" And Jesus said to them, "Take heed." Notice his first warning. It's amazing. "Take heed that nobody deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am,' and the time has drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. Verse 10. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilence. And there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. Verse 16, you will be betrayed even by your parents, brothers, relatives, friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head shall be lost. By your patience, possess your own souls. Now here we go with today, verse 20. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart. And let those who are in the country not enter her. Verse 22. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled, and there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. The word means no way out. The sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and or at the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. Why? For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Church, this is awesome stuff. Number one, this is important. Building one upon another. Jesus' teaching is not only in a telescopic way, it is also in a microscopic way. He's not only speaking about to the audience that he was addressing then, that just in 40 years, the temple's going to be destroyed. But he's going all the way out until the advent of the second coming of Christ. All of it has to do with the nation of Israel. All of it has to do with the Jewish people. All of it has to do with Jerusalem, but it engulfs the entire world. We'll know more about that as we get into the study. What you should know about the real Jesus Christ was first found in verses 5 to 9, that it's Jesus Christ, the real one of the Bible, who expects you to know what time it is. Remember that? He expects you and I to know what time it is, and that means that you and I as believers are to keep our eye on the nation Israel. It is amazing that up until 1948, there was no Israel. But God said, in the last days before I return, I will reestablish my nation Israel. And in fact, the prophet Isaiah said that Israel will be born a second time in one day. Does anybody know the day historically what happened? May 14th, 1948, exactly. Exactly as the Bible prophesied, thousands of years in advance, that Israel, by the way, no other nation has ever done this, that Israel would come back to their own land and that they would be recognized as a nation again in the world in one day. And the United Nations voted to sanction the rebirth of the nation Israel on May 14th, 1948. What an amazing moment. And then also we saw in verses 10 to 19 last time that the real Jesus Christ expects you and I to be discerning the signs, that we're to be looking at the signs because signs are indicators as to what's approaching. And we looked at that in detail. And now this morning we look at this, verses 20 to 28. He expects you and I to be looking ahead. As believers, we look ahead. Looking ahead allows you and I to have confidence. And so we look to this third point in our study, verses 20 to 28. The real Jesus Christ expects you and I to be looking ahead. And so what does that look like? Well, mark it down, note takers. He wants us to be looking ahead this way. Looking ahead because we can get a better view if we do that by looking ahead. We get a better view. Verse 20. But when you see Jerusalem, everybody circle the name Jerusalem. Not Capitolina. That's what Rome named Jerusalem when Rome conquered Jerusalem. Not some other name. The Bible says Jerusalem. He says, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know, that's a time statement, that desolation is near. There's going to be coming to Jerusalem a massive devastation, Jesus said. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are in the midst of her depart, and let not those who are in the country enter into her or go back in. Verse 22, for these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. This is a tremendous statement, and I need you to pay close attention, because much of what I just read has been fulfilled, but not all of it, some of it is yet to be fulfilled. Jesus Christ is speaking about the soon coming events that would come to their lives that were listening to him at that moment. And there's, by the way, I love the fact that the Bible never apologizes for what it says. The Bible says exactly the truth. There's no flaws. There's no errors in the Bible. It is God's revealed word to mankind. It is holy. It is true. You can bank on it. And Bible prophecy, church, gives you and I more confidence than what you can imagine. Because it's by Bible prophecy that we look at what God has said against what's been fulfilled. And every Bible scholar, every student of the Word of God, every one of you ought to know that when you do that, when you look to the Bible, you come to this awesome conclusion that what God said would happen, happens exactly as he said, and what was once viewed as metaphorical, mystical, spiritual, happens exactly as he says. What God says is what God does, and Bible prophecy is the authority that God keeps his word. And when you and I look to it, we can look better ahead. We've got a better view. We can see what's coming. We can see what's before us. And Jesus is saying in verses 20 to 22, something that encompasses church, mark it down, that verses 20 to 22 cover over 2,000 years of time in just those few verses. That is a historical, eschatological fact. So how sure can we be that these things before us are going to happen? Mark this down, 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Somebody's going to say to you, how can you trust the Bible? Number one statement, you make the statement and then you back it up with facts. Okay? Number one statement, the Bible says, as a Christian, you always want to say that. The Bible says, don't say my pastor says, don't say, well, I think, or my friend told me, or my Sunday school teacher. Listen, quote the Bible. The Bible is the authority. Listen, they may not believe it, they may not like it, but the beautiful thing is the moment the Bible comes out of your mouth, the Holy Spirit will grab it and turbocharge it into the lives of those that are listening, and they're the ones that have to go home that night and try to sleep with the Holy Spirit saying, did you hear what that guy said? He quoted this verse of the Bible. That's beautiful. They'll forget what you and I say. They will never forget what the Holy Spirit says. It's awesome. Stick to the Bible. Always to the Bible. When people come speaking and saying silly things, the prophet Jeremiah said, go to the Word of God, to the Word of God, to the truth of God, always to the Bible. So the Bible says of itself, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. You say, well, Jack, that's ridiculous. You just said the Bible says of itself. Yeah, that's what it says. So we ought to be able to put it to the test. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, another declaration. For prophecy, the revelation of the Bible, the giving of scripture, never came by the will of man. Have you ever heard somebody say, some man wrote the Bible? Nope. No, he didn't. The truth of the matter is, the answer is 2 Peter 1:21. Prophecy, the revelation of scripture, never came by the will of man, but by holy men. That means men set apart. Doesn't mean that they walked on water. It doesn't mean that they glowed in the dark. These were men separated by God, it says here, who spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The word moved is possessed. We don't like to talk about possession because it freaks people out. We've all heard of demonic possession. The authors of the Word of God were possessed by the Holy Spirit. And when they wrote, the Bible even tells us that when the prophets wrote down the words, they did not understand what they were declaring, and they longed to wonder, imagine, think, what will be the fulfillment of that? The book of Hebrews declares that to us. The epistles declare that to us, that they longed to see the fulfillment of what they spoke of. Amazing. Matthew 5:18, Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you that heaven and earth will not pass away until one jot, one tittle, that is one hyphen, one comma of the scriptures will be fulfilled." Nothing's going to pass away until the word of God's fulfilled. Jesus says you can bank on it. John 13:19, Jesus says, "Now I tell you before it comes to pass, that when it does come to pass, you might believe." The Bible looks into the future. It gives us a better view. And so when we see that the scriptures announce that Jerusalem's going to be surrounded, when did that happen? Well, we know that it happened in 70 AD. We looked at that at our first study together. You can look at it in detail later. Jerusalem was surrounded by the 5th Roman Legion under Titus. It was destroyed. Jerusalem was left in a rubble, in a heap. And then verse 21 says, "Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains." Guess what? When that happened, the believers, are you listening, everybody? Listen, the unbelievers, those who didn't believe in the words of Jesus, you got to remember, this is 70 AD when this happened. 40 years Jesus had been gone back up into heaven. The believers knew the warning about Jesus Christ. I'll prove it to you in a moment. They knew the warning in 70 AD. When they saw the 5th Roman Legion coming into Jerusalem, guess what the believers did? They hightailed it out of there. They more than hightailed it out of there. They went to a specific place. I'll show you that in a moment. Those who did not believe in the words of Jesus, the non-believers, which were a great bulk of them, by the way, stayed in Jerusalem. Keep that in mind. The ancient 4th century historian Eusebius writes this. He makes comments regarding the devastation of 70 AD, the surrounding of Jerusalem by the armies. He makes this comment. I quote, "The believers in Christ took the warning seriously. As Romans encircled Jerusalem like a tightening noose, the Christians fled united to Perea, thereby avoiding the fury," close quote. Perea. You say, what's Perea? What is that all about? I'm glad you asked. Perea is the ancient name for a kingdom that you know today on your map. It's just east of Israel. It's called Jordan. They fled to Jordan. They fled into the land of Moab and Edom. Josephus, the great historian, highly respected. By the way, a non-Christian, Josephus was, worked for the Roman Empire. He was a turncoat. He was Jewish, but Rome hired him because of his historical accuracy, and the Jews hated him because he was on the Roman payroll. This guy was not a Christian. Josephus wrote, quote, "Those of the way," that was the name of early Christianity, "left Jerusalem like a man leaves a sinking ship. But for many of the Jewish people, women were seen dead, clutching their dying children. Men were seen by the thousands taken captive as slaves, and many more went to their doom, or while others waited for their doom to come to them." 98,000 Jewish men in the revolt of 70 AD were taken captive and were sold into the slave market, Jewish men. By the way, those men, many of them went back to Rome and they built something some of you have been to, the Colosseum. Those who built the Colosseum came from the devastation mentioned in verse 20. Doesn't that excite you? That's history, Bible. You can go to National Geographic, or you can get out the encyclopedia and open up your Bible and go, mm-hmm, yep, uh-huh, that's right. That excites me. It's incredible. 1.1 million Jews died in Jerusalem due to the revolt and the invasion of Rome. Listen to this. They were taken captive and they died at the destruction of the temple. Over 500 years before that happened, Daniel 9:26 writes, "And the anointed one," Jesus Christ, "the anointed one, the Messiah, shall be cut off and he will receive nothing. The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end will come like a flood. War will continue until the end. Desolations have been decreed." Ladies and gentlemen, you know what? That's it. I could go home. I could go home with that. Daniel said 500 years before Jesus was born, Jerusalem will be destroyed, Jews will be taken captive, it's going to come into the city like a flood, and the sanctuary will be dismantled. And by the way, it's going to be with a war, and wars are going to continue, and desolations have been determined for Jerusalem and for Israel. You must look at history and understand that in this 21st century, up until recently, Jerusalem and Israel has been a place of nothing but war. Exactly what Jesus foretold. Looking ahead to get a better view. Matthew's gospel, by the way, let me read this to you. In fact, you can look at the screens. Matthew's gospel gives you a little bit more of a microscopic look, a closer look at the events that are recorded in your Bible. You might want to write these down. You got notes, you got margins in your Bible, write them down. As I read, you look at these verses. Go ahead and leave that slide up for a while. Matthew 24:14 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all of the world as a witness to all nations." Guess what? He's not going to use humans to do that. So what? I thought we're supposed to go into all the world and preach the Bible. But just before the end happens, the Lord sends two angels, book of Revelation, flying through the midst of the atmosphere. Hello, that ought to freak people out. And he's preaching the everlasting gospel. Wow! Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 24. He says, "And then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet," that is at the midpoint of the tribulation period, "standing in the holy place," he says, "whoever reads, let him understand." That's awesome. Jesus is saying, whoever reads the Old Testament book of Daniel better understand this. "Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains." Sound familiar? "Let him who is on the housetop not go back to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant in those days and nursing babies in those days. And pray that your escape will not be in the winter on the Sabbath day." Why? Only Jews think about the winter in Jerusalem on a Sabbath day as well. "And for when there will be great tribulation such as not been seen since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be." Look at Matthew's gospel. It's amazing. Matthew's gospel in detail tells you false Christ. Matthew 24, 5, verses 4 through 5 answers that fulfillment. Revelation 6. Wars. Matthew 24, 6. Revelation 6, 3 to verse 4. Famines. Matthew 24, verse 7. Fulfillment. Revelation chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. Death, prophesied by Jesus. Matthew 24, verses 7 and 8. Fulfillment. Revelation 6, verses 7 and 8. Martyrdom, prophesied by Jesus. Matthew 24, 9. Fulfilled, or will be fulfilled. Revelation 6, 9 through 11. Global chaos, prophesied by Jesus. Matthew 24, verses 10 to 13. Fulfillment will be Revelation 6, verses 12 to 17. Awesome. The Word of God, that we might see better the things that are yet in the future.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a mini-series called What You Should Know About the Real Jesus. And of course, the implication being that we can believe in a false Jesus as well as false prophets and false teachings against which Scripture warns in numerous places. Now, in commemoration of Passion Week and the Real Jesus, we recently brought to you portions of a four-part series called Only Jesus, and we want to let you know that it's still available on DVD through Real Radio. Our offer? For your tax-deductible contribution of any amount to the ongoing work of Real Radio, we'll send to you Pastor Jack's four-part DVD series, Only Jesus. Call, click, or write in order to do so. Ask for it by name if you call or visit us online. Only Jesus. Our toll-free telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, you can pay us a visit at our new realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.